welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. I'm very happy to be here today, and I'm happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our April 2026 Meeting of the Minds. We usually do it on the second week, but schedules were kind of wild. So we're meeting today, and I'm really happy that she's here. We always have a fun conversation, a good conversation. And if you'd like to be a part of it, we are live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. So you can go to 12radio.com, click chat for the chat room. And then from there, you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner, or you can go to my channel on YouTube, www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. So I hope you'll join us and be part of the discussion. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, however, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy on another call, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And this is just, I'm going through all my regular announcements quickly because I want to get to talking to my friend. But also, just as a reminder, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen.com, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you would like to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all you do is leave your email address. That's all that entails. Thank you again for being here today, and thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. Archives going back years, as a matter of fact. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, support, so I invite you to take advantage. You can also find, now I think I'm just about at a year of doing shows on YouTube, so you can go back over the previous year and find shows on YouTube as well. So I think that's it for my announcements. I did that in 5 minutes. I want to say thanks to Zarina for producing the show today. And as you know, I am always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me. C.A. is a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, an animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of Mark Cusson's weekly newsletter, The Power Peak. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific and streams live on YouTube. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So she's very, very busy, and I'm always glad when she's available to meet here, and we can just kind of, I don't know, we just kind of sort of relax and talk, and you guys just get to hear a couple of good friends talking to each other. Our meeting of the minds, though, is really special because it's where we can bring everything and anything to the table. Everything, we can talk about anything. My gig is spirituality, mysticism. That's my bliss. That's what I love. That's what I teach every week. But CA is, you know, she brings astrology, tarot, feng shui, you know, a whole lot of other things, which makes it really fun and different, a different show from what I normally have. But everything's acceptable, you know, stories about our families, our dogs, gardens, whatever it is, anything else, everything is welcome. And that's what makes it a really enjoyable and fast hour of talking. And we could always, you know, we could go on forever. We could talk for days, I think, if there was an opportunity to do so. And I will have CA join me in just a couple of minutes. And today I just want to, you know, it's springtime. And I know I talk in springtime, I talk a lot about spring on my shows, and fall, I talk a lot about fall. But they're just wonderful seasons. And everything is because of a really warm winter and warm spring here. Everything is blooming and budding out, and the trees have leaves. And we had a freeze, and a lot of the leaves died on trees and on my Virginia creeper. And it was like, oh no, I just felt like, oh no. But then I thought, you know, there's a lot more life that would have been expressed, and that will be expressed, especially where trees and that Virginia creeper, which will withstand the apocalypse, I'm sure. And I look today, and there's already new little bright green leaves coming out all over it. But anyway, the weather has been just very, very strange. And so it's time to just compensate and really follow the path of least resistance, which is to not fight anything, just go with it. And so I want to talk a little bit about springtime projects, a couple, and just give you examples of learning, you know, having that lesson in my face repeatedly as far as the path of least resistance. Just stop. You know, stop trying to force things. Stop holding on to things, trying to make them different than they are. Just stop. And when you stop, it's really interesting because options show up. They do. So, you know, I love to do my spring cleaning and fall cleaning, and I wanted to get started, but I was waiting for the yard cleanup, and then I had new topsoil put in my beds and the sprinkler work to be finished. And I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, because there was a lot of dust and dirt blowing around outside. We've also had a lot of really windy days. So, you know, I figured I'd be doing it again if I didn't just wait that out. So, of course, you know, I wanted it to be done. I just wanted it to get done. And it took longer than expected. Especially the sprinklers took longer than expected. But, you know, that in and of itself is a lesson, right? I talk about attachment and detachment all the time. And that wanting it to be done was, you know, I was attached to the outcome. And that's uncomfortable. And you know who suffered because of it? I did. Because I was struggling. I was pushing against what was going on. Well, and so I was my own roadblock. But then after all of that was done, and it was done, you know, I think a week or so ago, finally finished with the sprinklers and everything. The first night that they were supposed to go off, I have them set for like 1:30 in the morning, and just a short amount of time, like 10 minutes, just so everything kind of gets some sort of nutrient, you know, some sort of watering. They didn't go off. They didn't go off. And I was watching Scott as he was finishing them up, and they were sprinkling and they looked good. Everything was good. They didn't work. They didn't work the first time. So that's, you know, that's where I ran into some resistance, which is what I talk about all the time as well. But I tested them. They just weren't working right. And I don't know why. So he came back yesterday, checked all of them. They all worked. And the good thing was we were out there together looking at them so that we could see where they were hitting and where they weren't, as far as in the sprinkler beds. So it worked out well. It worked out just fine. And it all got taken care of. And the lawn was wet this morning when I went outside to check. So all is good outside. And the best part is I don't have to think about moving a hose around this year. I did that last year because I couldn't get the sprinklers taken care of. Scott was just, he was just busy and buried in work. So I thought, problem, I get good sprinklers. And I did that all summer. And that got old fast. But I did it. I did it through the whole summer. And I also don't think, I think the sprinklers are going to do a much better job. Even though I paid attention, I made sure everything got wet, the sprinklers are going to do a whole lot better job. So I feel much better about all of that, not just that I don't have to move a hose around. The last big thing, though, to be done after the outside work was done was to have my windows washed inside and out. And that happened last Thursday. My window washer guy is the best. In fact, all of the guys, my yard guy, Ryan, Scott, my nephew-in-law, and my window guy, Riley, they've worked for us for years. Riley and Ryan have, anyway, probably for about 12 years now, for Chan and I and for me. And they're just wonderful. They're wonderful because it's not just the guy that comes and mows my lawn, the guy that comes and washes my windows or does, takes care of stuff in the yard. I care about them. You know, we have a relationship and it's really, really lovely. And I love to support them. And they always treat me more than fairly, you know, and what they do and what they charge me, which I appreciate that. So it's a good circle. And Riley's the best. I mean, when he's fit, I have a lot of windows and they are big windows. Like my whole living room wall is window and they're like 10 feet tall and probably about, there's probably 10, maybe more than 10 feet wide. With windows, they go ceiling to floor. And in the living room, they're not quite that tall, but they're like 6x4 windows and there's four of them. So that's a lot of light that comes in. And when they're dirty, that's a lot of water spots and dirt that you can't avoid. But he is so meticulous. They're spotless. They're literally spotless. And there are other windows, obviously, through the rest of the house, but it's incredible the job that he does. The name of his company, if you are in the Denver area, I'm going to give him a plug. It's Arrowhead Window Cleaning, and you will not be disappointed. He does a fantastic job. But when he finished my windows last Thursday, I can't even explain how wonderful the house felt. With all that beautiful chi coming in unhindered, just light. That's what I love most about my house. It's just filled with light, always, even in the winter on a gloomy day. There's light because there's windows everywhere. And that was my green light. That was my green light. That hit my go button to really get my cleaning underway. And I absolutely love doing it. But you know, in this case, aside from the yard work that had to be done first, I wasn't motivated to do it. I'd look at it and go, yeah, I could start in there. But it's a big project. It really is a big project because I clean and touch everything. And I love it. I really do. I'm not exaggerating. I love doing it. It's peaceful to me. It's like a meditation. And I just do it while I work, while I'm online for calls. But I wasn't motivated. And if I would have pushed against that, it would have made what is a big project anyway, just a chore. And that's not what it is. But the timing's always perfect, right? And again, when you're not motivated, especially for something like that. Now, if there's something you have to get done and you're having a little trouble with your motivation, go take a walk, you know, do something to shake up your energy, but meditate, just, you know, get a healing, get quiet for a while and move through it if you have a deadline. But in this case, this is a project that it's just something that I do every year. And I love to get it done because it feels so good when it's finished, but I didn't have a deadline. I don't have company coming. I don't, you know, it wasn't that. So I think that too had an effect on the motivation factor. But man, the minute he finished, well, and two, I pulled like my plants away from the windows. So I mopped, you know, the floor where they sit, which you don't usually do, you know, pull your furniture away from the wall every time you clean. So anyway, it gave me the opportunity to get a start while he was actually here working on the windows. But that was one part. Those are just a couple examples of like the path of least resistance, you know, just go with it. Go with whatever's happening, because if you don't, the only one that suffers is you. But now to the gardening part, you know, with the yard and the flower beds in shape, I decided not to plant seeds this year. I've done that for the past 2 years. Year before last was a semi-success. Last year, kind of a miserable failure, but that's okay. That's okay. Gardening is an experiment. And this year I am lessening the experiment aspect by just getting the proper flowers for the different areas of my yard. You know, the ones that can handle shade, partial sun, etc. I'm going to take pictures of the beds and where they sit in my yard, and I'm going to show them to the people at the garden center who can tell me what plants will work. You know, but there is one thing that I am working on that I've never done before. So I am doing an experiment right now. And that is I'm starting zinnia seeds inside so that I have plants to put in the beds. As I said a minute ago, we had a freeze last Friday. So really and truly the rule here in Colorado is wait till Mother's Day. And even, you know, you could wait beyond Mother's Day to plant flowers. But if you wait till then to plant seeds, in the case of zinnias, which I did a couple years ago, they don't bloom. They didn't bloom until August. They're really sturdy, really sturdy plants. They're beautiful. They get really tall. They were taller than I am, which isn't saying much. They were taller than 5 feet. And they have big, gorgeous blooms, bright, bright colors. And they're hardy. I mean, they love sun. They are drought and bunny resistant. And they have, again, gorgeous, bright blooms. But, you know, it just took so long for them to grow from seeds. So this time I thought, you know, I Googled it, found out what to do. I got these little cups that actually are like, they're biodegradable, but they actually like fertilize once they degrade. So I don't know exactly. Some of them are called cow pots. These weren't, but it's the same idea. You plant the seedling in the pot. You plant the pot in the yard, in the bed. So I got them started last week. You're supposed to put two seeds just right under the soil, and they should start to germinate, and you should see something in like 10 days. Well, that was last Wednesday that I planted them, so I'm hawking over them. I guess I just have to have something to, you know, keep an eye on every minute and a half. But I bought the seeds before I came to the just get plants conclusion for the rest of the beds. And so, you know, I keep moving the little seed cups around the house to catch the sun. But, you know, if they don't work, I'll buy zinnia plants. It'd be great if they worked, because I know that would be a victory. But if not, I'll buy zinnia plants. I'm just done with fighting it, you know, and hoping something's going to work when it just really didn't. But, you know, last year, when I built the beds and put the planters together and did the raised beds and moved the house around 3 times a week, did all that stuff, I was really all in. I was excited. It was what I was supposed to do at that time. And it felt good. You know, it really felt good. It was truly a noble and sincere effort on my part. And I enjoyed it. But this year, I just want to see flowers when I look out the windows. That's all. I just want to see flowers. And to have them, the watering system all together and the beds, it should be beautiful. It should really be beautiful, because the beds are cool. But the moral of the story is, you know, to have people who know what they're doing, do what I can or don't want to do is freedom. The work was done right and for the most part efficiently. And I supported people that I love and their businesses. So that was a major win-win. And I guess the real bottom line is life changes and we change. And that's okay, because that's how it is. And it's not going to stop being that way. The path of least resistance is, in a word, acceptance. It's just acceptance, having it, having what is as it is. So in every circumstance, I am always my own liberator. If I just accept where things are and where I am in that moment. And on that note, welcome, CA. Thank you for being with me today.
Well, hello, Kelly. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely.
And I love what you're talking about on several levels, but I was thinking of myself and plants, because, of course, I live in desert where it gets to be, you know, almost 120 in the summer. Mm-hmm. But last year, you know, I'm a Colorado girl, so I got a little tomato plant, or actually I ordered a tomato, a cucumber, a pepper, and a basil. And I was a little disappointed when they arrived, because literally the tomato plant had two leaves on it. Two. And you know, when a seed first, you know, comes up, it has two leaves. So I'm like, oh my God, these are never going to make it. But I could picture you moving the little seedlings from window to window, because that's exactly what I did last year. I moved these plants just, you know, just constantly hovering over them. And they did live, and they actually all did well until June. And then it was just way too hot. I mean, and they really weren't meant to live inside. So no matter what I did, even if they were in the shade, you know, 100, 110 is just too much for them. So I got a few tomatoes. I got some cucumbers, which was really fun. And the basil actually did pretty good. And so did the peppers. But yeah, they're just kind of like, oh my God. And so this year I thought I sure loved having those, even though they weren't long lived. And I thought, but you know what? I'm just going to do it again, because it's delightful. I put them out front in planters. And I just thought, you know, I just want to see them. I just want to see that life. And I, you know, even if I never get one single vegetable, it'll be fun. But the other thing about it that I found this year is, instead of hovering over them, I just kind of put them outside and said, okay, you'll either make it or you won't.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I thought, yep. Oh my God, CA, did you just throw your money away? But I just thought, you know, all the hovering, and they were smaller last year when I got them. But I just thought, you know what, you'll either make it or you won't. I want you to make it. I will be out here every day, and I'm going to water you, and I'm going to give you some plant food, and I hope that you'll make it. But I can't change the weather. And just like you, you know, those freezes, you know, we actually had some pretty cold weather here too, nowhere near freezing. But I was kind of worried about those little plants, because I thought, oh my God, you know, in the daytime, they're getting all this heat, like maybe 80, 85 degrees. And then the wind was coming up and it was chilly at night. But once again, I just said, guys, you're going to, you know, I've got you in a somewhat sheltered area, but if you can't make it here, you know, I can't do anything about it. You know?
Exactly.
I don't have a garden, you know, a greenhouse or anything. So it was just kind of interesting. But also what you're saying in terms of the timing of things and acceptance. And it's such a fine line, I think, sometimes, to know when we're just backing off too much or when we're trying to push too much. But you know, I find anymore that it's very much what you're saying, acceptance. We have this idea of what's going to make us happy, or what is the right timing or the right way to do something. And then if it doesn't fall into those limitations or into that range, then, you know, we judge it. And yet, if our attitude is every single thing that occurs can be of benefit to me, it can be a lesson to me, then it changes. It changes the everything and the way we look at it. Because
absolutely,
you know, and I'm a big fan, and I know a lot of people, they don't quite go with this, but I think our daytime or our what we think of reality, I think it really is a dream, mm-hmm. just like our nighttime dreams. And mm-hmm. if something happens in a nighttime dream, like somebody's mean to me or somebody's really good to me or whatever, I don't wake up and then call you and say, Kelly, why were you so mean to me? You know, because I know that my mind made it up. Now, I yeah. could look at it and say, huh, I wonder why I scripted that situation. I can look at that if I want to. But if we start looking at our everyday life a little bit more like that, like, why am I scripting this into my day? You know, but even if we don't have an answer for that, which I think most of the time we're not going to, but even if we mm-hmm. just go, you know what, my mind thinks there's something to learn from this. So, you know, just accept it. Just get on with it. And just say, hey, okay, but you know what? I don't like this. So maybe there is a different response. Maybe there is a different behavior. But it's also a way, I think, of getting away from the blame game. Yeah. You know, because you made me feel this way. The cold snap that came through and ruined my plants made me feel this way. You know, how often do we just give everything on the outside of us permission to affect us? And, you yeah. know, there are some times, and I don't usually do this, but sometimes I just want to call people out on it. And, you know, when they're going on and on and on about all the terrible things, I just want to say, oh, what a victim you are. You know, I mean, I just want to make fun of it and not in a really judgmental way. At least I hope it's not. But it's just like, can you really hear yourself? You're letting the weather, you're letting this person, you're letting the grocery store line, or you're letting the traffic, you're letting all those things just mess you up. Really? You know? And I think if we just kind of stood back and said, huh, you know, this is a funny thing to script, or this isn't exactly what I would have scripted for me, but there must be something valuable. There must be a valuable lesson here, even if it is, I want to do this differently, you know? And it just changes, I think, our whole attitude. And then we can back off and go, okay, well, the irrigation guys can't come today.
Yeah.
Or the window washers took 2 weeks when they said it would take 2 days. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, that's the way it yeah. is, instead of just totally losing our cool. Like right now, one of my challenges is I needed to renew my driver's license. And I decided, you know, because of jumping through all the hoops, it was just easier to go down to the DMV and do it, right? So mm-hmm. I make the, and here, you know, you have to have an appointment. They don't do walk-ins for the most part. So I made the appointment, waited the allotted time, you know, because trying to get an appointment sometimes can take 2 or 3 months. But anyway, so I got the appointment. I went to the appointment and I just, you know, even though they, you know, I still had to wait 20 or 30 minutes. I'm like, it's okay. I'm taking care of this. No worries. I'm going to, you know, listen to something on my phone. So I just tried to maintain the most positive attitude I could, right? So I go and I do it and I have all the paperwork and they say, yeah, and it'll come in the mail in 10 days. Well, that was a month and a half ago.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh,
no, wow. No. And, but once again, the DMV, I have been calling them, and which is of course not the way to do anything, but on their website, there is no accounting for what happens if you renew it and it never comes. That's not like one of their FAQs. And so, but the paperwork I've got says, if it doesn't come, then wait 180 days and call us. And I'm like, I'm not waiting 180 days. No, I'm not waiting 180 days to have a valid driver's license. You know? And so I thought, so I called. And of course, what happens though, because they don't like to answer, I mean, doing things on the phone isn't what they do. So what it says though is the queue is full. You'll have to call back. So
yeah.
But I just said to myself, you know what? If you have to call every single day, that's what you're going to do. And do not let this just bend you out of, you know, shape. Just right. Do it. Just do it. Jump through the maze, jump through the hoops, whatever you have to do, you know, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, and part of me is just laughing. Like, of course, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, mm-hmm. it's one of those things that happens. Those systems are so difficult sometimes to deal with. And you have to play the game, even if the rules are rigged.
Right. You do. And you that's know? When, you know, and if you can just be the observer of yourself, you right. know, being reminding yourself to just detach, just yeah. You can't change it. You can't change it. And if you're trying to, if you want something to change badly that you can't change, you suffer. That's the bottom line. The only person yeah. who suffers when we are impatient is us.
Yes.
Like, exactly. Well,
and that is exactly how I'm taking it. I'm just going, you know what? You're not going. I mean, because I know what I do. I can just start obsessing and getting angry and I follow right. the rules and blah, blah. You know, it's like, no, I'm not doing that. It's like, right. it is what it is. I've got my little paperwork just in case, you know, and I'll just call every single day until I can get through their queue or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Just carry those documents with you every time you drive.
Yes. Yes. I know. And yet, mm-hmm. you know, this I think is hilarious too, because the documentation says, you know, this is a temporary license until yours comes in the mail. And it says, but this is not useful for identification. And prove, well, and it basically says, yeah, there's no picture, but it's no like, picture. This is yeah. not good for identification or proof of anything. And I'm like, oh, great. You kind of gave me a useless piece of paper. You know, I mean,
except
I just had to laugh
when you did apply for your license.
Right. I mean, and it actually has the number of my license on it. I mean, it has the date it was issued and how long it's good for and the driver's license number, which I also realized, I thought this was ironic too. To pay my taxes, I had to have my driver's license number.
Oh,
and I thought that's okay. interesting, because if I didn't have that paperwork, if I was just waiting for that hard copy, I wouldn't have that information either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's mm-hmm. so many things identifying where they ask for your driver's license. And in fact, I was thinking even my car insurance, I'm kind of surprised they haven't called and said, hey, we need your updated license number. And they will,
yeah.
you know, because yeah. they want it. But I thought I'm not going to push the issue until they ask me. But no, anyway, it's just, no. you know, sometimes you just have to look at life and you say, human beings, for as clever and as smart as we are, we make things so incredibly complicated and broken down, you know? Like, even yeah. in Colorado, don't they just hand you the license when you go?
No.
They don't?
No.
They used to?
Yeah.
They used to. They would just take your picture and hand you the license.
Yeah. Nope. I think it was about 10 days, maybe a week that I got it. But yeah, I had to make an appointment, go down. They tell you to bring everything, right? Your birth certificate. Yes. They tell you all this documentation. So I walk into this place where I'd never been before, which was in a strange part of town, not close to me. And I walk in the door and I said, I'm here to get my license renewed. And I said, I've got all my paperwork. And the girl goes, do you have your old license? And I said, yeah. She goes, that's all you need.
Went, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It went there, did all that. And it did. It came in the mail. I'm sure it did.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. No. And I think you used to have to turn in your old one because they did give you a new one.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they just punch a hole in my license.
Yep.
Is that so? You have your old license.
I have my old license and it does have holes in it. Yeah. So anybody
and
would
your face
quickly,
on it.
Yeah, they would quickly identify it as not valid. And thank goodness I have a passport.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if I really, because I mean, I was thinking about that too. I was planning maybe getting on a plane and going somewhere. And I realized, I'll bet you that they won't accept my license with the holes in it, even with that other documentation. So I thought, well, but I have a passport, you know?
Yeah.
But in any case, it's just funny. I mean, that's it. It's like, I'm not saying I'm waking up every morning laughing about it, but I'm just going, you know what? You're not going to get me this time, DMV. You're not going to get me to go down that rabbit hole.
Good. Well, and it's, yeah. I mean, all you can do is go, well, that is, it just is what it is. And I can't change it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whatever.
Yep. Life. Like I said, sometimes I just think we're amazing how complicated we make things, because even like you're saying, you know, we get all into this. Okay, here's my schedule. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And the minute something doesn't, then it kind of throws all our plans. You know, in fact, I heard it just recently. Somebody quoted that phrase of, if you want to, you know, make fate or God laugh, make a plan.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somebody had quoted that, and I thought, yep, that's just so true. Just make a plan and think that you've got control over all these things, and you don't, but you have control over yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also kind of want to speak to, you know, the spring cleaning and all of that. That's it. It's wonderful. It's so nice to have rituals like that of times that it's just natural to say, you know what? You know, like once a year, usually the first weekend of May, I always clean out all my canned goods. I just go through everything. And my spices often too, because, you know, spices really don't last very long. Sometimes when they sell them in those huge jars, I think, well, good luck with that. But, you know, I just, and some I do actually go through a whole bottle, you know, one of those bottles, it's like 3 or 4 inches high. But in any case, I just make it a habit, and I just go through and I go, you know what? If you've got a canned good in here that's been sitting here since last May, when you clean these out, it's too long. And if it's still good, then give it away. If it's not, throw it away. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, I think those are good things to do instead of just letting it go from, you know, time to time to time. So just, and by the way, also taking off what I'd say bite-sized pieces. That's the other thing. I used to... Everything all had to be done at one time. You know, it's like all of it, you know, this room, or clean out the canned goods and do this and do that. It's like, and I realize I just can't do that anymore. It's exhausting. And so it's sort of like even like picking weeds. I go out into the yard and try to do a little yard work every day, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes. Instead of saying, okay, this weekend, which is what I used to do, I'd say, okay, all weekend it's yard work. And I go, no, it just doesn't have to be that way. It's just, it may not be as effective. I'm not going to say that, but it gets done. And, you know, and I'm not just exhausted and unable to move at the end of the day because I spent all this time outside. And of course, with our weather, I really can't.
You can't.
You know, I just can't. I mean, even now, like the heat, I mean, I think we were close to 95, 98 the other day. And I thought, you know what? I just can't do that. But I can go a short distance, you know, or, you know, that's it. Do 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, 5 or 10 minutes, and the dog's running around the yard and I'm clipping a shrub or doing something, and I go, that's enough. That's enough. Just okay, let's go in. And it's usually him going, okay, it's hot, let's go in and get a drink. So
we've had enough fun.
Yeah. So I mean, so many things in life, you know, we pressure ourselves into meeting agendas and schedules. And sometimes you just have to look and say, why?
Exactly.
Why? And in fact, you know, I was talking to Mo on my show because we've got planets moving into Gemini this week. And Gemini, to me, the epitome is Dennis the Menace. And I love Dennis the Menace because of the curiosity. And, you know, he would always go, hey, Mr. Wilson, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And the thing is, that's it. He was always saying, why? 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 And we don't need to drive ourselves crazy. But if you're asking yourself, yeah, like, why does this all have to be done today? What's going to happen? Is the world going to fall apart? You know,
my head going to explode?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, every once in a while, I do that because I find myself getting all wrapped up and I go, why? What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, I mean, I do laugh because I'm like, nothing. You know, go inside and have a glass of iced tea, you know, or whatever it is. And just all this Gemini curiosity and inquisitiveness that is youthful and asking yourself why. Because how many times do we just get caught in a rut? Well, because I always do it. I always clean out the canned goods on May 1st or whatever. And it's like, why? Why? Why do we do that? And it's okay to just ask yourself, does the reason still exist that I want to do this or that I think this is important? It's always important to, I think, continue to look at our values. And there again, Venus, the planet of values, is moving into Gemini on Thursday.
Ah, okay.
You know, okay. So come on, you know, just like, let's look at this and just say, why? Is it still important? Can we switch it up? That's what Gemini likes to do. Gemini doesn't like routines.
Oh, so interesting.
So in any case.
I just think there's, and another thing that I would add to that is, do I get joy out of it?
Does yes.
it make me do it? You know, I mean, I love to organize stuff. I just love it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's organized. My spice drawer is in alphabetical order. Everything is organized. But I love that. You know, it's like, it's just, it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But talking about spices, I think I found a spice that was like Tana never threw anything away. It never. And so we had all these spices, stuff that I wouldn't even, you know, would not use. And it was either a spice or maybe it was like a bottle of Tums or something like that that I don't use. And it expired like 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, because I think medicine is also like over-the-counter medicine. You don't think of that as having an expiration date, mm-hmm. or at least I didn't. But they do.
But they do.
You know, they do. Oh, it's just kind of funny. But the spices, man, I threw, when I did my first big cleaning, after he passed away of everything that was in the pantry, there was stuff in there that was just ancient.
Yeah.
Ancient.
Yep. Yeah. It happens to all of us, and stuff just gets pushed to the back. Or we keep mm-hmm. looking at it and saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to use that. But no, we're not. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just probably not.
No. And it's okay to throw stuff away. Mm-hmm. It really is okay to throw stuff away. And that's something that I grew up with, you know, my grandma, who was a child of the Depression. And you didn't waste anything.
Right.
But she also bought what she needed for the week at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, she bought stuff and we consumed it. And that's how I do now, because most of the stuff that I eat is fresh. So that's easy to do. But it's just, you know, I look back and I go, oh man, I eat, you know, should I keep this a little longer? No. It's okay to throw it. It really is just okay to throw it away.
Yeah.
A bottle of, you know, a tiny little can of black olives, sliced black olives. Mm-hmm. Why I have them, I don't know. You know, I don't know. It must have been a recipe a few years ago that I needed them for.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yep. Yep. And there again, it's always a fine line. I know I kept a bottle of glycerin, and I must have had it 30 or 40 years. But the reason I kept it is because I happened to buy it. I don't even know what I would do. I think I mixed it with something. I don't even remember now. But it was a clear glass pharmacy bottle. that I bought probably as a teenager from a local pharmacy. And, you know, this like really dates me, but goes way back to when the pharmacists were actually compounding, you know, all the prescriptions. Mm-hmm. And we had a lone, just one guy pharmacist in a little pharmacy in our neighborhood. And he did the drugs, you know, provided all the prescriptions, but he also had candy. Right. So yes. It was always yes. a place to go. We would always yes, go down there stores. Literally with a dime. Yes. Yeah. And get our penny yes. candy. And mm-hmm. for some reason, I had this bottle of glycerin. And so it was a clear bottle with, you know, his, it wasn't handmade label, but you know, now that I think about it, it was pretty close to being a handmade label. I mean, he put the label on there and I don't remember how he generated it. And I just couldn't throw it away because it was my childhood. And I thought, you know, you just, and even I'm sure there are people in the audience listening and going, what, you know, what do you mean there were pharmacists and, you know, it's almost like It's a Wonderful Life. It was that kind of thing. The pharmacist, you know, compounded everything. And so I bought this bottle of glycerin for something and I could not throw that bottle away.
Yep. We went to the drugstore at Lowell and 32nd. Mm-hmm. And it was the drugstore, but it was full of penny candy.
Yep.
And I don't, and I'm sure other things that you would get at a drugstore or a pharmacy. Now we never called it a pharmacy. It was the drugstore.
It was a drugstore, right? And sometimes they had, you know, like they would do drinks. It was kind of the soda place soda too. But mm-hmm. this one was just the drugs and the candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a few other things. In fact, I think he had LPs, you know, records.
Really?
For some reason. You know, he would just sell a few hot topics, you know, or hot things. And I remember those albums being there and they were like $2.99.
Yeah.
You know, $2.99. You know? And that's it. I was 8 or 9 years old and I was always looking at everything. But in any case, you know, there are some things you just have to kind of keep it in the cabinet or keep it there just because it's a great memory. But for the most part, right. We just need to get beyond that. I mean, I find throwing things away, what's hard about it really is I'm judging myself for not having used it. For having wasted it. And so somehow it seems easier to put it back in there than to go, yep, you wasted that. You weren't paying enough attention.
Yeah.
No, but I know. What does it matter? I wasted it regardless. It's going to get thrown away someday, right?
It happened and I forgive myself.
It already happened. So let it go.
It's not coming back to life.
No, put it back it's away. Not. And you're not going to open it and use it. So let it go, honey.
That's funny. We put ourselves through a bunch of crap, don't we?
Yeah.
This is silly.
Yeah, but just like, you know, just be conscious and just say, yep, I made a mistake. There must have been something to learn here.
Yeah. And just be, you know, wherever you are, no matter how you used to do things, you're not used to anymore. You know, you're not there anymore.
Right.
And just be okay. Be okay with it. And I think there, you know, I think no matter what we do, and I'm talking like stuff around the house, you know, and even organizing, clearing out your pantry, there's got to be some little joy in there. I think, and there is, because when you're done, it's like, good. You know, I did something productive, even if it's just that. But that's, you know, we're awfully hard on ourselves when we don't have to be.
Yeah. And I remember, and I realized we only have a couple minutes left, Kelly. Oh my God. I remember just the idea of hearing that a psychologist would tell somebody, you know, that was depressed, go home and clean out a drawer.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is amazing how organizing even one small thing in your life makes you feel productive. And it starts the change. You know, just one small thing. You don't, and there again, you don't have to clean the whole house. You don't have to clean out everything.
No.
Maybe you clean out one drawer in the refrigerator. You know, just do one thing and see how you feel. you know, and don't be so hard on yourself. And with these planets moving into Gemini, lighten up and have fun.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add to that, you know, going in and organizing a drawer, if you're feeling depressed, you feel totally disempowered. Mm-hmm. But when you organize something, when you do something like that, you're empowered because yes. you're in control. You are doing it and you are making a change. You, just you. And so that in and of itself is healing. So that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just treat yourself to organizing a drawer.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better.
Exactly. And throw away what you don't use or don't love out of that drawer.
Right. That's right. Let it go.
Space is good. Let it go, Elsa. Yep. Thanks, CA, for being with me today. It's always just so good to talk to you. I appreciate it. What do you have going on?
Well, same thing as usual, just celebrating some of the planetary changes going on this week. It's a big week. And just, you know, I'll be on One to Listen. And I would encourage people, if you don't see me as available, just ask for a call back or a scheduled call.
Great. Good, good, good. Well, everyone, you've been listening to Empowerment. My name is Kelly Whetstone. We're here on One to Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. My guest has been C.A. Brooks. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very blessed week. Bye-bye.